Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman, John Senecal, your regular host. We welcome Matt Sorois here, who produces the show a lot, to join us for this special episode. It's a quick hit here. We got our wild card edition.
Episode 50.
Yeah, episode number 50, and it's a big one. Just quickly, like, Matt went to the game number 162.
First of all, thank you for the offer on the ticket.
Yeah,
Matt.
Why didn't you go? What kind of fan are you?
Cart my damn kids around.
So
what
have
day.
Your wife do it?
Wife is busy, man.
But
tax
doing
season,
what?
Carting kids around and working.
I don't know. I question your commitment.
Listen, last week Brian ditched his kids and went to the games. We know where the parent priorities are here.
Right, but I went to the game, so there's that. So you didn't go with Matt. Just quickly go around the horn. Your impressions on how the season ended, how you feel, and then we'll get to some. Specific.
Yeah, I want to hear about the game. I want to hear about the game.
What, you want the tic-tac-toe?
No, not the tic-tac-toe. I just want to, like, you, one hit, dude, in nine innings. You must have been sitting there like, all right, is anything
miserable.
Ever going to happen?
Miserable. I mean, Glaber got the hit, I think it was like in the fourth or fifth, and I was like, all right, here we go. Something should
Did
be
he not
here.
Run out something or
the
something?
Game before.
The game before, yeah.
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 And then, like 10 games before that, and then like 20
People
games
say
before
he's
that.
Done,
and then,
he's, yeah.
Yeah. He kind of, like, reminiscent of Robinson Cano a little bit, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, start running out.
Seriously.
But regardless, if you're down 12-2, right, in that game, still, like, that's not the look you want to send.
No. Ever.
Ever, right.
Not to the team, and especially not to the fans.
It's funny, because I always say, like, my kids always say, like Jeter never did that. Jeter never did that. So most baseball players don't do that, but there's a lot that do.
No, I know. In general, like, I mean, I always say.
I hate the loafing.
I always say to my kids who do loaf that. You should act like even when you think no one's watching that someone's watching, like,
because right. There
like,
always is
when
somebody
we used to recruit
watching.
For hockey, we're always told look what the guy's doing when he doesn't have the puck because that'll dictate what his work ethic is. And anyway, just real quick, was it fun though, or just like
it was a blast? Yeah, no, I had a great time. You know, I sent you guys a picture of traffic leaving, which is just always a mess. But other than that, it was a blast. You know, we got there a little bit early. Got to see some batting practice, which was nice. And then just the game itself, just being there. I mean, the Yankees pitching really grinded out a win, which was, you know, seeing Jameson Taillon go out there and then, you know, Boone pulling the hook on him.
I was kind of surprised Boone pulled him when he did. Like, I know. Again.
He's kind of rolling, but, I mean, there must have been a plan in place. Obviously, you know, holding Gerrit Cole back from that game, they must have had a plan in place, and they kind of stuck to it.
We'll say
smart.
That now they had a plan in place, but, like, everybody, including yourself, you just said it. I mean, I'm listening and watching the game yesterday as I'm driving around. And I'm like, why are you taking him out right now?
Yeah, but what if he got two guys on with no outs the next inning and you would have said, like, he should have pulled them? I mean, right. Like,
maybe
those
give
are
him
little,
one more
those
batter,
are,
but he was those, pitching good.
Yeah,
he was.
I mean, either way, all their calculations have come through well, right? I mean, listen, they got through the game and they have Gerrit Cole to play against the Red Sox on Tuesday. In terms of, you know, for me, like, we don't as a family sit down and watch a ton of baseball, but the game starts, the 3 o'clock starts were awesome.
Yes.
Having them all set. Yeah. I don't know if that's
Big
a regular
fan of the
thing.
3 o'clock start.
Yeah. It was great. And then, you know, the Red Sox were down 5-1, and my wife, she's always, in some ways, I get so mad at her for being so optimistic all the time, you know, because I'm like 5-1. Okay, we're going to play Toronto. Like, that was sort of my thing. That's
we were going
happen.
Nuts. We kept watching it, updating. I'm like, oh, they're down more. They're down more.
Yeah. And what I would say is that, as an aside, we can talk about this a little after, is that I kind of was wishing for some chaos. Like, I would have loved a 4-way tie or a 3-way tie for and something.
It was so funny, too. I usually sit behind the visitors' bullpen in Yankee Stadium, kind of heckle them a little bit. But I bought tickets for the Bleacher Creature section this time. And, you know, interacting with, you know, the players out and the fans chanting, you know, Boston's losing, Boston. Yeah. And seeing Aaron Judge like turn around, look at it, and give us like a thumbs up, like, you know, they want to know like what's going on in the other games while their head's still in this game.
Yeah,
it was cool to see.
There's really nothing better as far as a baseball fan or, you know, sports fan in general, is that final push at 162 at the end of the season, because you watch like the fans were still sitting in the Rogers Center watching the game.
Yeah.
On the Jumbotron, you know, and even the Mariners were still king, you know, and they were almost pretty much out of it.
Right.
Well, I want to say something about that, but I guess you're going back to watching the game with my kids and my wife. The Rafi Devers home run was really exciting. I mean, it was really, and he knew it, and he crushed it to the deepest part of the park. And I hand it to Washington, even though they got swept. Washington, Tampa, they did not
roll over.
They did not roll over. And same with the Angels, which I was even more surprised that they didn't roll over.
They didn't pitch Shohei the last game.
But I will tell you that potentially the most dangerous team in the American League isn't in the playoffs. And, I mean, Toronto, I don't think anybody wants to play Toronto.
No.
And I almost feel bad for them. They played almost half the season on the road.
Well, they made a statement going out. I mean,
statement kind of sucks if you're not in the postseason.
Right.
I mean, that team is good enough. I think they could beat the Yankees. I think they could beat the Red Sox. And I think that if their pitching held up, they could give the Rays a series. I mean, they're that explosive. And so I think a lot of AL teams are kind of grateful that they're not
I'm glad we're not. I mean, right now, I would have rather faced Seattle, to be honest with you. I don't want to face the Red Sox, but I would not want to face the Blue Jays. I mean, the Yankees got 17 hits in the series against the Rays in three games.
Yeah.
The Rays had 19 hits on Saturday alone.
Yeah, that's crazy. You heard the nugget that the Yankees had the choice of whether they would, like, go to Toronto or to Boston. And they chose Boston. They would rather go to Boston than Toronto.
I would.
I don't blame them.
I would.
Yeah.
Toronto is so dangerous. I mean, obviously, we shouldn't be talking about them because they're out, but just the way they hit. I mean, they're just too dangerous the way they can put up runs.
Yeah,
it's totally. Simple as that.
So the reality is we have a situation where you have Gerrit Cole against Nathan Eovaldi, and the history, we were talking about this off mic, but, you know, there isn't a long history between the Yankees and the Red Sox in the playoffs because for decades and decades...
In 99.
Yeah, the wild card is the only way they could face each other in the same division, and outside of Bucky Bleep and Dent in 78.
Last winner... Go home.
Right. So, I mean,
as far as a one game,
I think, what do you think is going to happen? Just give me a quick take on the game.
I mean, I would say even if Gerrit Cole's groin is still a little jacked up, I think the Yankees have the edge, showing what Eovaldi did against the Yankees last start. But I mean, Jesus, dude, it's baseball. Everybody that usually should step up steps up. And I feel like every time, if you're a good pitcher, you always come with your A game in the postseason.
I would agree with John as well. I think the Yankees should win this game. Speaking as a fan, obviously a little bit biasedly, but at the same time, they got one hit through nine innings yesterday.
Scary.
And you never know what can happen.
Well,
it wasn't like the Rays. I mean, yes, the Rays played them hard, but they weren't throwing like aces. I mean, the Rays don't have a bunch of aces, but, you know, the pitching wasn't overpowering, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think the Yankees embarrassed Boston at Fenway in that series sweep. And here's what I'll say. I don't think the Red Sox are a championship team, and I don't even know if they're good enough to do anything. So, I mean, like, people ask me, like, because I can go to the game, and I'm like, I'm not sure if I want to spend $300
to see that.
To see a team that I know is not going to win the whole thing. And then other people are like, well, you don't really like baseball. I mean, it's just sort of how I feel.
Right.
In the last couple of years, when we do our playoff, you know, postseason draft, I always just pick the World Series games because the only game I want to pay for is the World Series.
Right. Cause it's really the only game that matters because they're there.
Right. And we've been spoiled. We've had four titles in the century. So, I'm a little torn, and I think the game's a sellout, and I think that the secondary market's really healthy, and I think part of it is I think Yankee fans are driving up.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, Brian. Do you think it's going to be kind of the same showing?
I do.
Hopefully that they're going to get.
I think it's going to be, and I think it's going to make the game more fun.
Yep.
But I think it's not going to be dangerous per se. But I think that if you have a couple thousand Yankee fans and the way they embarrass the Red Sox, there's going to be a couple doofuses who have a few too many drinks.
There always is.
So I mean, it's going. But I do anticipate a really healthy "Let's Go Yankees" versus "Let's Go Red Sox" chant. Which I'll tell you, the game I went to two Saturdays ago.
It was almost all Yanks.
listen, it was hard to discern who was winning that battle, and the Yankees might have had a little edge. Right. So in terms of win-loss, I don't really know, I have a feel for it, because I think it doesn't matter. I think that Gerrit Cole's the kind of guy, like, he always reminds me of Messina somehow, even though they're not the same pitcher type thing. But, like, there is something about the moment that I feel like he'll be pretty amped up to pitch well. Yeah, the other
thing, I was saying this to my kids this weekend about Cole, is he's the kind of pitcher that even if he's off, he's going to give you six innings, he's going to keep you in the game. Even if he's off, he should not go out there and blow it
and get it pulled in two thirds of an inning or two innings.
He's the kind of guy, if he's going to give up three runs, he's going to throw six or seven innings with eight Ks.
But yeah, I mean, for me, and listen, John Senecal, Brian Shackman, are episode 50 of Fan Base, the deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We're just sort of like an emergency edition. We'll try to tape again later in the week after the wild card game and go from there. We have so many issues to talk about. Your buddy Bobby Dickerson might be out of a job, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on in our sphere that we want to talk about. We're focused so much on the wild card game,
the big one,
and what goes on from there. But it's fascinating that it's come down to this, right? I mean, after all we do in this conversation, starting back to, you know, what it's been over a year, right?
Yeah,
that
we've at
been
least
do,
yeah.
doing this, and the Yankees. I think that they're, when I look at them, I still don't know, have a feel for the team identity, but I don't watch them like you. But I look at the Red Sox, like J.D. Martinez, like, trips on the base and he's out. Like, you know, who does that? Like
what's the deal with him? Is he going to be able to play? I know LeMahieu's out.
Yeah, I feel like
that's a big miss if you don't have him.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a chance he doesn't play. I mean, I don't know.
Especially the one game.
Right. I mean, maybe by the end of the week, but just the fact that it happens,
right.
A guy like that, I just think is so silly. And Bogarts has been really struggling, and Devers has just proven, like, I used to look at him and I'd say, like, he's out of shape, he's chubby, he's lazy, he's laughing all the time. But now I really have to revisit.
Because he's still young.
Plus, it's not even that. He just has that demeanor. Like, he's serious about being a baseball player. Well, he really loves baseball. I read him wrong.
The home run he hit yesterday to center field, people that watch baseball realize how strong you have to be to do that. And how hard he hit that ball. Like, Rafael Devers is a great hitter.
Yeah.
He is a great hitter, and he's proven that. And he has done what you needed him to do. He stepped up and took over when everyone else...
When a lot of people didn't, right? Yeah. And I'm not a huge believer in the Red Sox. Maybe I'm a little too hard on them. But I will say, and like even like watching that game, I got into little details. Like, Pivetta, who I don't think
that
much of...
That curveball he threw to was Soto insane. Was insane. And Soto is probably the top three hitters in baseball.
Well, of course, he's the best in the game. Yeah. And if you didn't see the curveball, I mean, it broke in the high inside corner.
Insane.
That, I mean, it was just on top of the two inside fastballs that he had for called strikes.
It froze him like a popsicle, too.
Yeah, man. And he's a great hitter. So it was really fun for us to get into a game like that and to see them do well. Come back.
I love watching last game of the season stuff. It's crazy. It doesn't happen a lot. Like, it happens every, I'd say, 5 or 6 years, you know? But,
right.
You know, the final game in 78 obviously is way bigger because it's pretty much the same thing as now because the stupid wild card. But that is obviously, you know, that was the one and done too. But that was all for the marbles of the East, right?
Right. So then basically back then, you just have to win one series and to get to the World Series.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just amazing. There were teams that won like 95 plus games who didn't make the playoffs back in those days, which is kind of crazy. All right, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You got some good nugget too today?
Yeah, we're talking season records and last game of the seasons and face-offs. So we all know the Yankees and Red Sox played each other in 1978, and the Yankees, Bucky Dent, wound up winning the World Series.
And the side note of that is the Red Sox had a huge lead in that.
Huge lead.
In that. Division,
like 14 games or something.
Well,
like that.
Into August. Yeah.
So we'll talk Yankee season matchups total, right? Postseason, they've started 99. Yankees win 2003. Yankees win 2004. The big one. Red Sox coming back and win. 2018 ALDS. Red Sox win 3-1. Now, what happens this year, right? So overall, the Yankees are 12-11 in the Red Sox in the postseason, pretty much.
So they just had the, outside of the Bucky Dent, they've just had three times they've met.
Four.
So there was, you said 99, 03, 04, and 18. So four. Yeah, that's right.
And then this one coming up. Now, in the regular season, the Red Sox and Yankees face off, right? 1,232 to 1,033. And they've tied 14 times.
Wow. So the Yankees have the edge there?
Regular season edge. Now, the ties, I was like, all right, well, that's strange. Major League Baseball games end in tie.
It was like the early 1900s or something?
Forever ago, right?
Yeah.
Had to have been. Now, there's some random times over history, right, that games have happened, but I couldn't find any Yankees-Red Sox, so it must have been way, way back in the day. But what I did find is an interesting time that the Red Sox, it was 1949, and the Red Sox played the Detroit Tigers, and they tied them 14-14, and the Red Sox were down 4-1 early. Detroit was down 4-1 early. Responded with 9 runs in the fourth. Boston took the lead back in the fourth, sixth, seventh, only to watch Detroit come back, blah, blah, blah. Innings 1-9 featured 33 hits, 4 home runs, 28 runs total.
Wow.
Yep. So the kicker here is the game ends in a tie because it was suspended because of darkness, right? 1949, no lights in the field. The kicker here is the Red Sox finish one game behind the Yankees in the AL pennant in 1949.
No way.
And that game ends in a tie. So would we have had our first Yankees-Red Sox
in 1949?
In 1949, if it wasn't for a suspended game and the Detroit Tigers coming back and playing a 13-inning game that was suspended due to darkness.
Wow, and that's it. That's obviously a Ted Williams, Dom DiMaggio, Johnny Pesky era.
1949,
team.
They finished 96-58. One game behind the Yankees for the AL pennant.
Wow, so they go 96-58, right? So that's 38 games or something over 500.
And they
don't
make
the playoffs.
Nope.
That's a good nugget.
Yeah.
That's like 7 nuggets.
And I was like pissed that I couldn't find the Yankees Red Sox ties.
It must be from the late 1800s.
It's got to be insane because, I mean, I tried every.
You couldn't find them.
I couldn't find it. Now, I'm sure I probably could if I like. I don't know,
like really
insanely
deep.
Crazy, right. Did quotes and all this good stuff. But I feel like this is almost better. This is almost better than that.
I love it. Real quick prediction.
Again, I think the Yankees win on the back of Cole. I don't necessarily think there's going to be any sort of blowout game because I think Eovaldi steps up. Eovaldi's a good pitcher, former Yankee.
Yeah, I feel like
we still had him.
I feel like one of the two pitchers
is not going to make it.
Is going to give it up. Yeah, and
do you think
I feel like
Cole's going to go Roger Clemens on you?
I mean, I don't know who it's going to be. It could be Eovaldi, but I will tell you that I think that, like, it's going to be like a 6-2 game. Somebody's going to go out to an early, like, 4-5 run lead, and I think it's not going to be close. I'm not saying the Yankees or the Red Sox, but one of the pitchers is going to throw up on himself. That's just my sense.
I know one thing. I'll be watching, man.
Listen, let's check in later in the week.
Yeah.
For episode 51. So this has been episode 50, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We hope you like it. Share it, and of course, listen to it wherever you enjoy your podcast. We will talk to you very soon.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.